All right, welcome back, everyone. Ready for another deep dive?
Always ready. Let's do it.
Awesome. Today, we're going way back to 2011.
Oh, okay.
To a case in Massachusetts, Commonwealth v. Amaral. You know, a case that really shaped how we look at digital evidence even today.
I see. Yeah.
So if you're a lawyer or even a law student or really just anyone who's fascinated by how this stuff works, like how we use emails, ISP records, you know, those online trails in court, this is the deep dive for you.
Yeah, I think what makes Amaral so interesting is it's not just about the tech, right?
Right.
It's about how what we do online can have very real consequences in the real world.
That's such a good point. And in this case, it all started with an undercover sting operation.
Okay, I'm listening.
A state trooper was posing as a 15-year-old girl named Ashley on Craigslist.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and our defendant, Jeremy Amaral, he contacted Ashley using this email address.
Yeah.
rdwmercury2006@yahoo.com.
R.W. Mercury, got it.
Things escalated pretty quickly. He shared a picture of himself, his phone number, and they agreed to meet up. Of course, Ashley was the undercover trooper, and when Amaral showed up, bam, arrested.
So that's where the digital world, like, collides with the courtroom.
Right,
the,
yeah.
Those emails, that Yahoo account, suddenly it's all evidence. And the prosecution, they had to connect those digital dots to an actual crime.
Exactly. Amaral appealed his conviction, though.
I bet.
So I'm guessing his lawyers were trying to, like, raise doubts about whether those emails really tied him to, you know, to what happened.
Yeah, that's the classic defense strategy, right?
Yeah.
They were saying, well, just because his name is on that Yahoo account doesn't mean he was the one sending those emails. Anyone could have been using that account.
Oh, yeah.
But here's the thing. The prosecution was smarter than that. They didn't just rely on the name. They focused on Amaral's actions, the things he did in the real world.
Ah, I see.
That backed up what was in those emails.
So it was almost like a digital fingerprint, but made up of what he did, not just data.
Exactly. He gave his phone number, he sent that photo, he showed up at the meeting place. All those real-world actions made it a lot harder to say, oh, it wasn't me, it was someone else using my email.
Mm.
And that's what the court really zeroed in on, what they call the totality of circumstances.
Okay, so looking at the whole picture, not just one piece, but what about the Yahoo document itself? Like, was that enough on its own?
That's where it gets interesting. So the Yahoo document, it had Amaral's personal info on it.
Okay.
And that information was obtained with a warrant. So it wasn't just a printout, you know. The court saw it as a business record. And business records, those are an exception to the hearsay rule.
Oh, right, right. Right.
And because they got it with a warrant, it added like another layer of reliability.
So the warrant was crucial. It made it official.
It did. But here's the catch. Even with the warrant and the business record exception, the Yahoo document alone wasn't enough to convict Amaral. It was that document and his real-world actions that did it. I think what Amaral really shows is that digital evidence, it often needs real-world validation. It's not enough to just have the online trail. You've got to tie it to things that actually happened.
It's almost like the court was saying, look, we live in a digital world, but we still need those real-world anchors to make these cases solid.
Absolutely, yeah. And Justice Kontrowitz, who wrote the majority opinion, he actually said it very clearly. He wrote, the defendant's actions authenticated the emails.
Wow.
Like, literally, his actions became the proof.
Okay, so we've got the digital trail, the warrant, the actions. Is there anything else to this?
Oh, yeah, there's another piece of this puzzle, and I think it'll resonate with anyone who's ever had to deal with the best evidence rule. Remember that one?
Oh, of course. Of course. That's the rule about using original documents instead of copies.
Yeah.
I definitely remember learning about that in law school.
Exactly. And the defense tried to use that in Amaral. They argued that the prosecution shouldn't be allowed to use copies of the emails or the Yahoo records. But the court basically said, look, this rule is from before computers. It's not really meant for the digital age where, you know, copies are often just as reliable as the original.
Oh, interesting.
They did emphasize the importance of making sure the copies are accurate, you know, that they haven't been messed with. But the fact that the court dismissed the best evidence rule in this case, that's huge.
Yeah, it's like they're acknowledging that the old rules, they don't always fit with how we use digital evidence today. So what does all this mean for lawyers then, or anyone who has to deal with digital evidence? What should we take away from Amaral?
Well, I think it's kind of a wake-up call. Don't just rely on those digital trails. You got to be thinking about how to connect those online dots to real-world actions. Build a multifaceted investigation.
Mm.
And on the flip side, anyone who thinks they can hide behind a screen, this case is a reminder that what you do online can come back to bite you.
So what we do online, it can come back to haunt us in the real world.
Absolutely. And as technology keeps advancing, those connections are just going to get stronger. It's almost like Emeril predicted the challenges we're facing today.
Really?
Like with deepfakes, AI-generated content, all that. How do we prove what's real in a world where so much can be faked?
Yeah, and it's not just emails anymore, right?
Yeah.
Think about, like, all the different types of digital evidence we see in cases today.
Yeah. Okay.
Text messages, social media posts, even location data from our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Emeril kind of gives us a roadmap for dealing with all of that.
So even if you have, let's say, a text message or a social media post that seems really incriminating, you can't just assume it's authentic. You still have to prove it.
That's right. You can't just take it at face value. You have to think like a detective, right? Digital evidence, it's a starting point. It's a clue that leads you to other evidence. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
It's about connecting those digital breadcrumbs to the real world,
yeah,
to your actual actions, events, mm-hmm, to witnesses. That's how you build a strong case. And that's exactly what the prosecution did so well in Emeril. They didn't just show the emails. They showed how those emails matched up with what Emeril was doing in the real world.
Exactly. And that's why that concept of totality of circumstances is so important.
Right.
The court didn't just focus on one single piece of evidence. They looked at everything. The ISP records that linked Emeril to that Yahoo account, what was actually in the emails, his actions that backed up those emails, the identifying details he gave out. It was all of that together that led to the conviction.
Like building a bridge. You need both sides, you know, the digital side and the real world side to make it strong.
I like that analogy. And it brings up something really important for lawyers, you know.
Yeah.
You got to understand the legal stuff, obviously, but you also have to understand the tech.
Oh, that makes sense.
You can't just hand over the digital evidence to a forensic expert and call it a day, you
yeah
know? You have to be able to explain it to a judge and a jury, show them how it fits into the bigger picture.
So it's not enough to just be a good lawyer. You have to be a bit of a techie, too.
Pretty much, yeah. Especially these days. But, you know, I think there's a lesson in Emeril for everyone, not just lawyers. It's a reminder that our digital actions, they have real-world consequences. You can't just assume you're anonymous online.
Hmm, that's a good point.
Even things that seem harmless, they can come back to bite you.
It's like that saying, right? The internet never forgets.
Exactly. And as technology keeps getting better, that becomes even more true. We leave digital footprints everywhere we go. And think about it. Emeril was decided back in 2011. It almost predicted the problems we're dealing with now.
Oh, wow.
Like deepfakes, AI-generated content. How do we even prove what's real anymore when it's so easy to fake things online?
Yeah, that's a good question. It feels like we're always one step behind.
In some ways, yeah, maybe. But I think the lessons we learn from Emeril, they can help us stay ahead of the game.
Oh, okay.
We have to build those investigations with multiple layers, corroborate the digital evidence with real-world evidence whenever we can. And you always got to remember, technology has its limits.
Right.
We can't just blindly believe everything we see on a screen.
So it's all about like thinking critically, being smart about the law, and just being ready to adapt as technology keeps changing.
Exactly. And that's why Emeril is such an important case to look back on. It's not just about the specifics of that case. It's about the bigger picture, how law and technology intersect, how human behavior plays into all of this. It's a conversation that's only going to get more important as we move forward.
It really feels like Commonwealth v. Emeril was a turning point. You know, a case that made the legal system really face the digital age.
Yeah, I think that's right. It definitely got everyone thinking about how to prove digital evidence is real, how to authenticate it. And it gave us a framework for doing that.
And that framework, using real-world actions to back up the digital stuff, looking at everything together, not just one piece,
yeah,
that seems even more important now than it was back then.
Right, absolutely. Just think about how much of our lives are online now compared to 2011. Social media, banking, our cars are even connected to the internet.
Hmm.
That's a ton of potential evidence. And Emeril gives us a way to think about using it in court.
It's like this case opened up this whole new world for lawyers and investigators.
It did, yeah. And it created new challenges for the defense, too. You know, if you're a defense attorney and you've got a case with digital evidence, you can't just ignore it.
Right.
You have to understand how it was collected, how they're saying it's authentic, and how you can argue that maybe it's not so reliable.
So it impacted both sides.
Yeah.
And it feels like we're still seeing the effects of it today.
We are, yeah. We're still trying to figure out how these ideas apply to all the new technology that's coming out. Think about deepfakes, for example.
Oh, yeah.
How do you prove a video or an audio recording is real when it's so easy to change those things digitally?
That's kind of scary when you think about it. It feels like we're always trying to catch up.
Yeah, in some ways we are. But I think what we learned from Emeril can help us get ahead of the curve. We have to focus on those multifaceted investigations like we were talking about. Corroborate the digital evidence with real-world evidence whenever we can. And we have to remember that technology isn't perfect.
Right, right.
We can't just believe everything we see on a screen.
So, critical thinking, applying the law in new ways, being ready to adapt as technology changes, that's what it's all about.
That's it, exactly. And that's why Commonwealth v. Emeril is such an important case. It's not just about what happened in that case, it's about this bigger picture, how law and technology come together, how people behave online. That's a discussion that's only going to get more and more important.
It is fascinating, and it seems like there's a lot we still don't know, a lot of ground to cover.
There is, yeah, and that's what makes it so exciting. For lawyers, for legal scholars, for tech people, for forensic experts, there's so much work to do to figure out how to deal with all this.
It's almost like we're making the rules as we go. But having a case like Emeril to guide us, to help us understand the basic ideas, that's so helpful.
I agree. It's a foundational case, and I think it's going to be relevant for a long time.
Well, I think we did a good job breaking down Emeril today. Any last thoughts before we wrap up this deep dive?
Just one. I really encourage everyone to go read the full opinion in Commonwealth v. Emeril. It's well written, it's insightful, and it really shows the challenges and the possibilities we have as we try to make sense of the digital world through the law.
That's great advice. And to everyone listening, thanks for joining us for this deep dive into digital evidence and the law. We'll be back soon with another case, so make sure you subscribe and stay tuned.